nice to say good morning. In fact, Tim's not with us today, he's on holiday, but he did say just keep a check out for anybody who says good afternoon. That'll do, I got one, he's happy. No, you're okay. Right, so we are, if you don't know me, my name is Glenn and I'm part of the leadership team here at New Life. We've just started a summer series of short talks on memorable verses. And there was only a few of us last week, but Lisa spoke about how we love because God first loved us. And that got me thinking, if you've experienced a loving father when you were growing up as a child, seeing God as a loving father is easy. If you've had a somewhat different experience, maybe a draconian father, maybe even an abusive father, or a father who's not around, then to say to you, God is a loving father, that's a lot harder to take in. And the verse that I was drawn to is 1 John 3, verse 1. And it says, "See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. That is what we are." Did you get that? See what great love the Father has lavished, not given, lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. It then goes on to say, the reason the world does not know us is that it does not know him. And that's true. If you notice that on your walk with God, that you become different from people in the world, you have different views, different attitudes, and people will notice that. They won't necessarily understand why, but they will notice the difference. So what I'd like you to do today as I'm going to talk to you, I just want you to think about two questions. What is it like having a loving father? And what difference can having that loving relationship make? Now, I want to tell you a story of a father and son who had a very loving relationship. I was first made aware of that story, I was trying to think how long ago, probably 17, 18 years ago. And it impacted me so much that I've kind of carried on keeping an eye on that story. And sadly, the dad passed away in 2021 and the son earlier this year. But I still wanted to share that story. So who likes running? I know Ian does. And there must be more of you. We have a Harvest running group. Yes, so you all like running. Well, the good thing is I'm going to talk a little bit about running. Now, the son's name is Rick. And when he was 15, he became aware that there was a very good, promising college athlete that had a car accident. And it looked very much as if he was going to be paralyzed. So Rick says to his dad, there's a 5-mile charity run for this guy to help pay for medical fees. Can we do it? And the dad, who's I think was 36 at the time, and he said he was certainly not a natural athlete, but luckily he had been running about a mile two or three times a week just to try and keep his weight in check. So we thought, yeah, 5 miles. Yeah, we can do that. And the dad's name, by the way, is Dick. So that was their first run. And when they'd finished it, Rick said it was the best thing that they'd ever done together. Dick, on the other hand, said he had muscles he didn't know he had that hurt. And so when Rick said, hey, Dad, can we do some more? He said, yes, but I think we'd better do some proper training. Anyway, they started running 5 and 10 mile races quite regularly. And then Rick says to his dad, Dad, how about we run a marathon? Dad's like, wow, now you're talking. This is some serious training. But yeah, if you really want to, we'll give it a go. That was the first of many marathons. So then Rick is getting into this. He says, Dad, how about a triathlon? Dad said, well, we've got a problem with that one, son. I can't swim. But it happened that he was just changing job and needed to move house. So his solution was he bought a house by a lake. And the very first morning he got up early and I walked into the lake and I sank. But he persevered. He went each morning and he got stronger. He could swim a bit better and a bit further. And they started doing triathlons. They did complete several. But then they had made friends on the running course and one of their friends said, why don't you guys do an Ironman? Now, I don't know if you know much about triathlons and Ironmen. I had to look it up to find out the distances. You're probably aware that we have some very good athletes doing triathlon. there's the Brownlee brothers, etc. But apparently, if you are going to do the Olympic triathlon, you swim 1.5 kilometres, you get off, you get on your bike and you do a 40-kilometre bike ride, followed by a 10-kilometre run. If you do the World Triathlon Series, you step it up a bit. You do 2 kilometres swimming, 80-kilometre bike ride, 20-kilometre run. But an Ironman is a bit more like a triathlon on steroids. You swim 3.8 kilometres, which you might think, well, that's not that much more, but that's actually 2.4 miles. You then cycle 180 kilometres, which is 112 miles. And you finish off with running a marathon, which is 42.2 kilometres or 26.2 miles, giving you a total distance of 140.6 miles. But just to make it interesting, you do it in a really harsh environment where the temperatures are at least 30 degrees with high humidity. But Dad's answer was, yeah, we'll give it a go. And I think with Ian's magic help, we should just have a little clip to look at. He said, hopefully.
Who taught the sun where to stand in the morning? And who told the ocean you can only come this far?
Free to wipe a tear from your eye, because it still gets me every time I watch it. See, what I should have told you was, when Rick was born in 1962, there was a problem, and his umbilical cord got tangled around his neck, and so he was born with severe cerebral palsy, and he had no control of his arms and legs other than a few involuntary twitches. And the learned doctors and specialists that were treating Rick said, sorry, but the best advice we can give you is that Rick's going to be paralysed from the neck down. He's probably going to be in a vegetative state, and we think he'll have no sort of quality of life. The best thing you can do is leave him with us, and we'll put him in an institution for however long his life is. You go home and get on with your lives. Not a good thing to hear as a parent. But thankfully, Mr. and Mrs. Hoyt didn't listen to the world's view of their son. They said Rick's eyes would follow them round the room when they were speaking. And they knew that their son was in that frail body. And they were determined that Rick would be loved and have the best life he could have. And in 1962, there wasn't a great deal of help out there that there is now. And Mrs. Hoyt cut out letters from sandpaper, so that Rick could see the letter but also feel the texture, and he managed to learn the alphabet. But the big breakthrough for Rick came when he was 11. A local university professor and his students, some of whom knew Rick and the family, pioneered a system that Rick could be coupled to a computer and speak through it, one letter at a time. And that gave Rick his first real chance to properly communicate. And it turned out Rick was a very bright lad. He wanted to go to school. But at first the authorities were very sceptical. They didn't know how they were going to manage to cope with Rick. But eventually they relented. He went to school and he did well. And he turned out to be the first totally paralysed person in the state to go to school, and possibly in the country. From school he went to Boston University. And he graduated in 1992 with a degree in special education. And he went to work for Boston College on the Eagle Eyes project, where they develop communication for disabled people. Now, I would say that's quite a productive life for a baby that the learned doctor said wasn't worth bothering with. See, that was the love of his mother and his father. But it was through the running that Rick and his dad did even more. When they turned up for that first race, Rick was in a normal wheelchair. And people thought he'd just push him to the corner, turn round and come back as a sort of token gesture. But Rick wanted that young man to know that there was a life after his accident, and they ran the full 5 miles. They also learned that a normal wheelchair is not very good for that sort of thing. And because there wasn't anything else out there, Dad decided he'd make one. And it turned into a prototype for many more. And as you're now seeing on television, there's all sorts of running wheelchairs and things that are now available. But that was kind of the start of that. They became known as Team Hoyt because they're Dick and Rick Hoyt. And the more running they did, the more well-known they got. Now, Dad Dick, he decided that in 2016, at the age of 75, he thought it was time to retire. He said he wasn't competitive anymore, and he said, "We've never finished last in a race, and I don't intend to start now." So he decided that was time to stop. A friend of the family then did push Rick in the Boston Marathons for another 3 years. But the amazing race history, they competed in over 1,100 distance events. 257 were triathlons. 6 of those were Ironman triathlons. They did 72 marathons. 32 times they ran the Boston Marathon. But interestingly enough, when they first wanted to run a marathon, that was their home marathon, they applied and were told, "No, you can only run this marathon if you can do it in under such and such a time." So undaunted, they ran the New York Marathon, did it in enough time, and then qualified for the Boston Marathon. If that wasn't enough, they also biked and ran across America, a full 3,735 miles in 45 days straight. Now, most people doing that particular event would put in a couple of rest days, but not Team Hoyt. Dick always said that the longer they ran, the more energy he got from Rick. And he said he could never run alone because it just wouldn't work for him. And when they first wanted to run an Ironman, they were told, "Well, yeah, Dick, you're a fair athlete. You can run it, but your son can't." And he said, "No, you don't get it. We're a team." He said, "I'm the body, but Rick is the heart. He keeps me going." But it's not just the races they completed. It's the way they changed people's perception of what a disabled person could achieve. Now there are many running partnerships with a disabled athlete and a pusher in lots of mainstream events. There are also in many states in America now special events where if you're disabled and you want to try running for the first time, you turn up and there'll be volunteer pushers and chairs available so you can have a go. The Ironman triathlon, who were first very sceptical, ended up inducting them both into the Ironman Hall of Fame. And there's now a dedicated Ironman section for disabled competitors. Add into that, Team Hoyt, also with the Hoyt Foundation, they raised many thousands of pounds or dollars for different charities, good causes, specifically for disabled people. You see, that baby that the learned doctors and the specialists said he won't have a life, with the help of his father's love, changed people's views on disability, inspired many people, and not just in America, throughout the world. They changed where they lived. They changed the world view of where they lived. Rick wrote a book called CAN, C-A-N, and it was about his story of learning to speak one letter at a time. He wrote it to encourage others. Now you see, when they completed that first 5 mile run, Rick said, "Dad, that was amazing. When we run, it feels like I'm not disabled. Can we run again?" And Dad said, "Yes, son, as long as I'm able." So why have I told you this story? Well, you see, our Heavenly Father has given us each a race to run. And what I want you to do is ask your Heavenly Father if he'll run it with you. I know the answer. Your Heavenly Father's answer is going to be yes, as long as you are able. and when you're not, I will carry you. That's our Father's love. Why? Because our Heavenly Father loves you more than you will ever know. And He wants you to have the best life you can. And He wants you to make a difference. Now, I believe that our Heavenly Father wants to do some business with His children today. So, if you have trouble seeing God as a loving Father, I believe the Holy Spirit wants to break you free from that. I believe God wants to show Himself to you afresh today. Secondly, if you have had things spoken over you as a child, maybe from family member, maybe from other children at school or teacher or whoever, and if they're still holding you down and holding you back, I believe the Holy Spirit wants to break those as well. And the last one, which I know applies to me, if you find yourself being judgmental and taking the world view on people and situations, I believe the Holy Spirit wants you to recognize that. And He wants to point you to how Jesus would see things. So, is it okay to ask the band to come back up? What I would say is if we could perhaps just give the Holy Spirit time to minister and do a song, if that's okay, Ian. And then perhaps we could pray for each other after that. So Heavenly Father, I just want to thank You that You are that loving Father. You do call us children. You adopted us as Your children. You want the best for us. And as strange as it may seem to people who don't know You, You do want that daily contact. You want to run the race with us. So I just pray that You will just draw close to us now and to reveal Yourself to the people who need to just feel You afresh, Heavenly Father. I pray that in Jesus' name.